Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. Well, y'all, you know we have to go deep, deeper, deeper. Somehow we come up with these topics that just lend themselves to going deep. Now, it doesn't get any deeper than love. That's about as deep as we're going to get. And because I heard Creflo Dollar on there talking even last night, he says, if we get the love thing right, we'll get everything else falling into place. Now, I don't know about you, but I absolutely adore when things just fall into place. You know, you ain't got to really strive for it. You don't have to struggle for it. It just falls into place. All you have to do is get up and be about it. Just get up and be about it. Well, I want to welcome each and every one of you to the show this morning. Our topic this morning, part two, talking about how to love yourself. Now, yesterday, we're going to catch you up on some of the things that we talked about yesterday, and then we'll finish our discussion going deeper into this, because it has become aware to me that there is no sense of pretending. You know, in the show, in the introduction to the show, as the song Ain't No Stopping Us Now is playing, it is stated there that we got to get past all the things that we're hiding behind so that we can never really get to the really fulfilled and satisfied life that we should all be living and wanting to live. But I want to definitely give a shout out to good morning to Miss Kelly. I know she won't be able to call in and say anything. She's listening from work while she is working. Also to Miss Elaine Haskins, our prayers go out to you. We also want to say good morning to you. And Kiva, awesome, awesome, good morning. God bless you. I certainly want to thank Miss Keisha. So there's Kiva and there's Keisha Campbell. Miss Shine Consulting. Definitely see Miss Shine. Well, I'll get it right, and she can do some phonics there for me so I can pronounce it absolutely right. Consulting, I definitely want to thank her for also posting and showcasing the Coach Lalisa Show, which I did not ask her to do, but it's always nice when people support and help to get the word out about what we're doing. Thank you to all of the others of you who do that on a regular basis. We can't thank you enough. Mr. Versi Walker, who's always out there supporting the show. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to our great, great friends, Mr. Paul Carazzi over in Japan, which I believe and hope he's still in the United States right now. Mr. Jay in Germany, good morning, and welcome to those of you who will listen in the chat room. Good morning. We so appreciate you. And as we're getting ready for this wonderful, wonderful celebration coming up over the next couple of days, what a better topic to talk about but love. It wasn't that I planned to talk about this months ago. It's just that I am also being led of the Spirit of God to bring about these topics. And but it just so happens, what better topic to talk about as we go into Christmas. Now, we talked last week about our health. We talked about the importance of being healthy. We talked about some steps we could take to get healthy. We talked about some of the purposes for living a healthy and a whole life. What's the sense of having all these great plans for success if we're not going to live long enough to experience it? That doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. Not that we have any control or the 411 on how long we will live. However, we have been given dominion and stewardship over this earth and over our bodies, and that we were told there are things that we could do to stay healthy so that we can live as long as we're supposed to. We don't want any premature death. And certainly, now, as it relates to love ourselves, we were also told to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And some people have so gotten right the love thy neighbor part, especially if we're a single female and he's a good-looking single male, or if we're a single male and she's a great-looking single woman. Sometimes we love him or her, even if they're not single and even if we're not. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Y'all know how I do. Let's just keep it real. I'm sorry. The Code to Louisa show is not a show about pretending. This show can be entertaining. You'll hear me laugh. But we're not here to play games. We're here to entertain, but not play games. So, yes, you will hear me say things like sometimes not so married and married and still looking for love in all the wrong places. And so here there's a situation where we're loving or we're trying to. Here's the problem. Sometimes we're just trying to love someone else. But are we really? Can I really love you if I don't love me? I mean, the commandment that most people are very familiar with, they've heard it lots of times, and they've seen it in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Leviticus for those of you Bible scholars out there. You've seen the scripture. You've heard it. Love your neighbor as thyself. Well, my goodness. If I'm the neighbor and I have to depend on love from you based on how you love you, I'm going to fall short as a neighbor getting love. Because, again, we can look at how we take care of ourselves. If I had to, whether it be taking care of our personal property, our physical property, and what about our spiritual property? What about how well we take care of our emotions? Now, I'll be the first to tell you that I got straight F's in this department, like beyond flunking, you know, like just expelled from the situation. Had no clue. Just heard the scripture read or preached, and that's it. Had no understanding. You know, he says, and all you're getting, get an understanding. No understanding of what that meant. And sometimes, often, went out and about trying to love someone else. But how can I if I don't love me? If I don't care about me, if I don't make sure that I'm eating right, if I don't make sure that my emotions are in the right place, if I don't have a healthy love for myself, how can I have a healthy love? Well, in my case, let's look at my spouse, Drew, my husband. Some of you got a chance to meet him a couple of weeks ago here on the radio when he did the show on customers and sales. Some of you met him last Friday at the Sister to Sister monthly networking event. We served on a panel together. But how can I pretend that I love him when I yet haven't even investigated the love for myself? Here I am in self-doubt. Here I am in self-pity. Here I am not feeling secure in who I am. Mistreating myself, putting myself in bad situations, putting myself in situations that are negative. How much love can I have for him if I don't have the right, proper, and healthy love for myself? But sometimes I've found that when we don't love ourselves properly, then what we do is we try to make up for it, you know, because then there's that emotional dissonance thing that's going on where we think one thing, but we're projecting something else. And so what we don't want that. And so we try to act like a thing that we think. So we were thinking that we're supposed to love ourselves. And so what we'll do is we'll go out and we'll spend the money and try to buy our own love, or try to buy things for ourselves to make it look like we love ourselves. You know, keeping the hair done, the nails done, and having nice clothes, even very expensive clothes, and maybe driving an expensive car or a very nice car. There's nothing wrong with those things. But making sure that the inside, the outside, we care more about, but it's the inside whole. We know the outside is looking real good, but what about the inner man, the inner woman? Because when we really stop to think about it, it's what's inside that is going to attract what it is that we're desiring or what we end up with. And this message today, you know, it's coming at a time where there's a new year about to approach. And with this holiday season, you got Christmas, and then we have New Year's. This is a great big time for a lot of interacting and connecting with family, friends, neighbors, loved ones, and those that we want to love. Those that we want to love. But before you go throwing your love around to everybody, think about how much do you love you, okay? Single ladies who are not celibate. I'm not talking about the celibate ones. Single ladies who are having sex, if you need me to make it very plain for you, before you sleep with that man, single men, same thing, those who are not celibate, before you sleep with her, think about who you're tossing your love around with. Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? See, if you love yourself, the first thing you want to do is make sure, or maybe not the first thing, but the second, third, or fourth for sure, before you hit number five, you want to make sure that that person is in love with you. But how can you even tell if they are or not? Because you've already broken down that barrier that to show that you love you. Here's how love works. When we love something, remember yesterday we went through the 1 Corinthians, the part we talked about, this is what love is. Love is going to now, like say for instance, if you have a child, let's just say you have a child. If you have a child, you're going to protect that child that you love. Am I right or wrong? All those of you who have children know what I'm talking about. Some of you who don't have natural children, you know what I'm talking about because you're protecting other people's children. See, love brings about protection. So if I'm not protecting my own body from harm and danger, see, maybe I'm really sending a signal to say I don't really love me, and therefore I'm going to attract that same kind of signal. Then I don't really need to love you since you don't really love you. See, we're going deep. I know that's a little deep for some of you, for the Coach LaLisa Show. But remember, the Coach LaLisa Show and is a coaching show, and it's based on the coaching premise that through coaching, we can drive success. So you want to be successful. A lot of people have to even share with me, I want to be successful in relationships. I want to be successful in love. I want to be successful in marriage. I want to be successful at raising my children. This starts with love. Same thing with our children. How can you say you love your child and you don't love yourself? So we have to get there. We got to get it right. If you just tuned in, we thank you for tuning in to the show today. You tuned in to the Coach LaLisa Show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I see, okay, I see. We have Miss Pat also on the line. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Miss Kiva, good morning. To those who are in the chat room, good morning. If you have a comment or question, feel free to type your question. Welcome guests in the chat room. Good morning, Miss Lisa. Good morning, good morning. We're talking today about loving ourselves and what are some signs of self-lovelessness when we don't love ourselves. What are some of those signs? What do we need to do? Not cover it up, not sweep it under the rug and pretend that it doesn't exist so that we can continue on in the manner which does not produce good fruit. We're fruit bearers. We want to bear good fruit. I want to say good morning and happy birthday to anyone. This is your birthday. Certainly want to say happy birthday to Ms. Eric Perkins Banks, a pastor friend of ours, daughter. Good morning, and God bless you, and happy birthday to you. Also to Leonard A. Dean, good morning, one of our Facebook friends. Good morning, happy birthday. Also to Rachel Stribling, happy birthday. Also, happy anniversary to any of you about to celebrate your anniversaries. And you just tuned in. We're talking this morning about loving yourself, part two. Going into this holiday season, before we get to the new year, we need to change up our status. Change up, like Facebook says. You got a status on Facebook. Change your status from I don't even like myself to loving your. Some people don't even like who they are, let alone love. You see, we have sometimes a lot of self-doubt. We have self-pity. We don't value our own opinions. And so how, if that's the way we love ourselves, then that's the way we're going to love our neighbor. And I don't quite think that's what the master was talking about when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. I think he was talking about a higher, a greater, a more excellent love. But how can you portray that? How can you expand that to your neighbor when you don't yet have it for yourself? If I don't yet have it for myself, which is why I brought this topic up. It's not that I have some kind of crystal ball and I'm looking into your lives and your future. No. I'm looking at, what I bring to you is I'm looking through the lens of LaLisa. I'm looking at the areas that I need to correct. And then I'm taking for granted that there are others, possibly hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, who need to correct the same thing. Because let's face it, we all live in the same world. Now, the only difference is that some people are not willing to admit where they're falling down. They're not willing to admit where they're falling short. Therefore, they will never change. Therefore, things in their life will always be the way it is now. Because you've heard the quote, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have right now. Yes, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you have right now. And if you're happy with what you have right now and the way you are, then fine. Fine. I talk about that in my book, Release Your Power. The power to change your life. The power to assess your skills, your talents, your abilities, the power to look at your situation, look at your relationships, the power to lead yourself to success, not sitting around waiting for someone else to do it. You know, that's one of the, I think, most important takeaways or messages in my book, Release Your Power, 8 Strategies for Becoming Who You Really Are. You can get it on my website, LalisaJWilliams.com. I think that's one of the most important messages in that book, the greatest nugget of wisdom in that book, is that you don't have to wait on someone to make a positive change in your life. The source of your power has already been given to you, has already given you everything you need to be everything your heart desires. Whatever you want to be, you can be it. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. But waiting for someone else to do it, you're going to be waiting a very, 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 very long time. And I'll tell you why. Because most people are too busy trying to fix their own lives, and they don't have time to come and fix yours. Now, along the way through life, you will meet people and make connections that people can add to your life and help it and enhance something that you're working on. But the change, it has to come from within. Now, I know for some people, it's too religious in their minds to think about loving their self and or their neighbor. But yet there's a lot of love going around, at least a whole lot of love making. We got babies everywhere. Somebody's making love. Somebody's doing something. And that's fine. But let's make sure we're loving ourselves first. Because there's a lot of people bringing children into the world, can't love the child, don't love them, don't love the parents, and then we have to have television shows and radio programs about what's wrong with our youth. Well, what would be wrong, you know, there would be something wrong with me too if I felt that nobody loved me. And typically, one reason to feel that is when people don't show up for you. You know, a lot of people don't get this. When people don't show up for you, it's innately human to assume that they don't care, even though they can tell you a gazillion times that they do. Daddy can call on the phone and tell you a million times, baby, I love you. But if he keep leaving you sitting on that stoop and don't show up, you know what? My mother used to tell me that love was an action word. She used to say that love was an action word. And I thought, okay, that sounds good, Mom. Great, you know. She was a great, wise woman. But then I thought about Jesus dying on the cross. That was a great action, y'all. Well, that proved it for me. Yes, Mom, you're right. Usually she was, as it related to me. But here's the thing. That was an action. Let me tell you, if I ever needed proof that, you know, even God said, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, yes, gave is an action. He didn't say he wanted to give, okay? No. He gave his only begotten son. So, yeah, I can see now how love lines up with some taking action. So I can tell my husband a million times, honey, I love you. But every now and again, I got to stay home. I got to cook something to eat. I got to make sure some of his needs are met. Well, all of them, really. But we should be meeting all, because if we don't meet them, somebody else is always waiting to meet a need of your husband or your wife. And I know I threw that one in for free, so some of y'all going to catch that on the ride home. But you got to know the needs. Now, here's the thing. Everybody's needs are different. So don't get it twisted. Don't think because Sally across the way, husband needs that. That's what your husband needs. And so you doing your thing based on what you see her doing, or mama did, or grandma did. No, you got to ask your own spouse, baby, what do you need? And once you know, and if you believe that's true, that's what you need, then you give them that and you're good. Okay? So this is not a show on marriage, but it is a show on love. Love, love. Remember the Love Boat? Remember that show, The Love Boat? They were on there and it was all about love. Well, today, this is the love show. It's all about love. Because next week, before we move into the new year, part of our topic is going to focus, our topics for next week are going to focus on habits to building wealth for your dreams. You have dreams. Some of you have dreams to own daycare centers. Some of you have dreamed to own transitional housing for women, for youth, for young girls. Some of you have dreams to own etiquette schools for teenage girls. Some of you have dreams to own colleges and universities, like myself. We have big dreams, y'all. But we got to give funding for those dreams. So we're going to be talking about that next week. We're going to be talking about wealth, but we had to do this first. We no sense of talking about dreams without talking about loving ourselves. So I'm going to go back to the switchboard and see if you have a question or a comment. You can raise your hand. You just hit your number one key and you raise your hand and I'll open up your phone line. If you're in the chat room and you want to make a question about the topic this morning, maybe you totally disagree with something that I've said. That's fine. You're welcome to dispute what I'm saying here this morning. It's not that my opinion is the best opinion or the greatest opinion. It's just my opinion. You also have your opinion. I'm not here to change your opinion. This is a discussion. So I would love to hear what your thoughts are about love. You know, God told us, love your neighbor as thyself. I just began to question my own self and say, wait a minute. You know, look how I'm treating me. Am I treating me good enough? Do I care enough about me? How can I care about me when I don't even care about the things I put in my body? Not that they are going to, they're not going to change, you know, the end result, whether I go to heaven or hell, but it will certainly change how I live right here on earth. You know, that's what being so heavenly bound and no earthly good means. Fine, but what about right here, right now? What about what I'm doing today? Give me my daily bread. What about now? How am I taking care now of this body, of my emotions, of my mind, of my mental state? Do you know that going around all day with negative thoughts, that's not healthy. That's not loving yourself, thinking the worst of everything that you do and say and become. That's not healthy. Can you imagine? Who would want to, tell the truth, who would want to marry someone who is always negative? Be honest. Raise your hand if you would want to marry someone who's always negative. Now, maybe some of you did, but you found that out later. They pretended to be positive. You know, I've seen those couples. It was all positive. As soon as they got married, everything went downhill. What's that about? That's about pretending. So in this show, we want to stop the pretense. Take the covers off. Remove the barriers. Stop hiding. Let's see who we really are. And then now we can make a change. Once we know what we're working with, what we're dealing with, now we can make that change. And definitely, I would encourage each and every one of you to get that book, Release Your Power. No, you're not going to find any big, fancy, glib words in it if that's what you're looking for. Then no, it's not. That's not the proper book. The words are very simple. God told me to keep it simple. You know, there are enough people out there who can't get through a good book without having to look up every other word. No, just keep it simple, nice and to the point. No need to flatter you with great words. Paul said, I don't need to flatter you with great words, though I could. But I need to get a message across to you. And that's what my goal is, to get the message. change. Talk about change in that book. There are a lot of people who need to make a change. Change how we talk to ourselves. We could just stay right there and do a show for the next 6 years just on how we talk to ourselves, the negative way that we talk to ourselves. Now, think about that. I'm talking negative to me, but positive to you. What is that about? What, you know, if I got enough sense to talk positive to you, then I should have enough sense to talk positive to Lilisa. Okay? Again, I can use my husband. How am I going to tell him, oh, you're wonderful, you're great, you're smart, you're good looking, you're this, you're that, but I'm telling myself, you're stupid, you'll never get that, you're dumb, you won't get into that college, they won't approve you, that paper won't get an A, that, what? That doesn't even, come on. When you hear that, does that sound right? I'm telling him, oh, baby, you're wonderful, you're awesome, you're all that, you're this, this, and that, but I'm telling myself, you stupid, you ain't nothing. Nobody is, no, you know, nobody thinks you're doing anything that's worth of any value. You'll never get that job. No need to even apply. You won't keep that job that you already got because this is happening, that is happening. You see, that doesn't make sense, right? Right? That's not right. If I have enough sense and wherewithal and ability and power to tell my, to tell him how wonderful and great and nice he is, don't you think I need that same thing? If I feel it's important that he knows that he's special and that he's wonderful, don't you think that you yourself need to know that? And we must tell ourselves? This is serious, serious business here. There are so many people. You know, I meet a lot of people. They don't even like themselves, let alone love themselves. And some of the behaviors that are out there that prove that we don't love ourselves is how we treat ourselves, how we treat our own bodies. We don't love ourselves, how we treat each other. Where's the love? Again, it's almost simple to make somebody think we love them. But then the real us comes out as we look at how we're taking care of ourselves, the things that we do for ourselves. And our health is usually the first, quickest way that we can tell. And then the second are those close relationships. And that's why, and I know my good friend, Mr. Evan Spaulding, he wrote an audio book out there, How to Get Him to Propose. And, you know, maybe some, I don't know if he discusses this part in his book. I hopefully will get him on the show soon. He can talk about it. But how are we going to get somebody to propose to us and we don't even love ourselves? We give our bodies away as if they have no value. Because this is what I had heard when I was maybe in my early 20s, or this is what I thought anyway. I had believed that, now I don't know where I heard this, I really don't. I don't know if it was Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. It might have been the Whatnots. It was one of those singing groups, I can guarantee it, I think. But somehow I had believed that if you go out with a man and you sleep with him, especially, you're not married, of course, I'm saying, and you sleep with him, like, right away, that he's going to think, and I think a guy might have told me this, he's going to think that you'll do that for any man. And therefore, you will only be a woman that he will just want to be with to have sex. You will never be a woman that he would consider making his wife. Now, I know that's not always true. There are some men who, even though we had sex together, they will still marry us, yes. But the concept is still probably there. Again, when you got with that man, he probably was not someone you just you know, got your freak on with them the first time you met them. Because I was told, and I'm pretty sure it was a guy who told me this, that that's what's in their mind for the most, for the average guy. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking, he's glad you did. He'll never say no. This is what they told me. They'll never turn you down. But that their thought now in their subconscious mind is saying, you'll do that with any man. So therefore, they won't be able to trust you. So if you're at work and they think, oh, if you meet the right guy, a good-looking guy, or if you're on the street and you meet, and this is what they're thinking. Now, some men don't care who their women sleep with. Some men could absolutely care not. So they're good. But for the man who is thinking, I want her and only her, then they're going to be like, you will not be on the list for marriage. Now, same thing with a woman. It can go the same way. If a woman, I know that's what I thought. I don't know about you ladies, but when I met my husband, when it was not about, this is not somebody that I want to know that he will just sleep with the first woman that's in the bar that winks back at him or winks at him or takes his drink or whatever, or wherever you meet them, whether it's in church and you can meet them at work, you can meet them in the bar. Those are the three key places that most people meet somebody. Bar, nightclub, whatever you want to call it. You got to maybe have another fancy name for it. Whatever, it's still the same. Unless somebody hooks you up or a house party. But it's still back to the same point. The same point is people are going to treat you the way you carry your own self and the way you treat your own self. Again, we don't take care. We just eat any old thing. Well, what man is going to want to really marry you if they see you just putting any old thing in your body? Because now they're thinking, you're not even going to be around long enough. So why would I want to make you? Hey, maybe he doesn't have that in his book, but I'll write a book and put that kind of stuff in there. But, no, I don't know. But that part, I'm not about the book. I'm just throwing that in. But serious ladies and men, I know we also have men on the line. And please, I mean, you can raise your, if you hit your number one key, I promise I'll open up your phone line. You may see it differently. Maybe you think I'm way off base. Again, it's just my humble opinion. But one thing I am sure about is this love of self has to be there. You must demonstrate before you can love anyone else. First of all, how can you know you love them and you don't even love yourself? So it's not like you can bypass this and think you're going to jump over self-love and be loving somebody else. No, because eventually it's going to come to pass. Eventually you're going to be revealed that you have no love for yourself. So it's best to get it right now because 2011 is about preparation for the awesome fullness that God is going to do in your life for 2012. I know some people was waiting for 2011. Yeah, that's going to be your year. Yeah, it's going to be your year to get fully prepared. It's going to be, that's what, it, for some of y'all. Some of y'all it's going to be whatever. But for a whole lot of us, I ain't saying y'all, us, including myself, and y'all know who you are, and I know who I am. Some of us, 2011 is going to be about preparation, getting our credit right, getting our debts squared away. We're supposed to be a lender, not a borrower. Some of us need to start lending more, so we're not borrowing, but we're not yet lending, and that's still a problem. Then we got people who we need to get our health right. We've got clogged arteries going here, there, and everywhere. We're not eating properly. We're not getting the proper rest, you know. Y'all know that was one of my biggest problems, getting less than, 5 and 6 hours of sleep a day. Nope. I'm going to want my 8. Now I'm demanding my 8. And thank you for those of you who are concerned, and that's great. But here's the thing. We have to be even put our concerns in the right place. Because if I get too concerned about you, then I'm not going to focus on me, and I got enough of my own issues. So God has given all of us enough energy to fix our own problems. Yes, he has. Just like in your body is made to heal itself. Well, you're made to heal yourself no matter what tragedy comes your way. It could be death in your family. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be loss of a loved job. It could be a loss of a loved career. Do you know that some whole careers disappeared? Just a whole career just gone. The whole industry gone and done away with. I think about all the people that were pressing records and albums back in the day and those phonographs. Do they even use those anymore? You know, everything now is CD, MP3s, links and stuff. So, you know, whole industries just disappearing. We got to think about that. What we got to get prepared for what's about to come. Some of us have been praying and asking God for buildings and programs and businesses. Well, in order for him to do that and make that happen, we have to have a lot of resources and materials. But if we're not ready to handle it, what can we do with it? Some of us are, some of you all who are single, looking to be married. Before you try to love him, you better make sure you love you. Because sooner or later, if you're a female, sooner or later he's going to find out you don't really love yourself. Same thing. Woman, man, sooner or later she don't know. You don't love you. And you done marched down the aisle and spent all that money on a beautiful dress and a nice tuxedo and they got your family all in an uproar only to find out 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, you don't even love each other. You don't even, well, first of all, again, you can't love him if you don't love you. You can't love her if you don't love you. So you can, but you can pretend. Some people, now some people, don't get it twisted, some people are able to pretend 60 whole years. I know couples that have been married 60 long years. Neither one of them love each other. And had children, and they don't love nobody either. And the kids are just going to be a replica of whatever the parents spit out. So they don't love each other. They're struggling in their relationships. Because we think that we're hiding. We think, but no, no. Because what's inside is going to come out anyway. So we need to find love for ourselves. This is big. This is not going to go away. This topic, we're not going to do a part three. We'll have Mr. Versey here tomorrow. Mr. Versey Walker will be our guest speaker, as he is each and every Wednesday. And as we get ready for Christmas, we'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. This is our holiday. I love doing the radio show, so we're here. The only reason I won't be here is that I'm in a meeting that I can't get out of, and it happens to happen at 7 a.m. Other than that, we will be here. We have next week, we're going to be talking about some habits for building wealth. We're going to be using a book by a woman named Lynette Calfani. Yes, she is. This book was a New York Times bestseller. She also worked in the media for a long time. She is a money coach, and her book is A Guide to Your First Million. Now, I know some of us, we've already made a million or 2 million, but we didn't make it all in 1 year, and neither did we make it to where we could see it all at one time. She was married to a person who works at the college, Essex County College. Your money personality type. We're going to talk about that. We're going to use this book all next week as we get ready for January 2011. We know Minister Pat at the retreat gave those steps about what we should be doing the first 10 years. The first 6 months of the next year. So it's right in line with this thing of preparation, preparing. Because here's the thing, it's better to be safe than sorry. What if God decides to bring it about before 6 months goes away, before 1 month goes away? But here again, we were caught like the man with the talent who didn't do anything with it because he was waiting. He was holding on to it. No, we want to be in preparation, training, courses, coaching. We want to get what we need. We want to be able to handle what he's about to bring about. just because we said 2012, he might bring you that 2012 fullness in the middle of 2011. He may bring it in the first quarter, but we're getting prepared health-wise. We want to be healthy. We want to be whole. We want to be healed. We want to be happy. How can we be happy if we don't love ourselves? How do we know when we don't love ourselves? It's just look at how we treat our bodies. Look at how we treat our thoughts, our minds. Look at the things we say to ourselves. Look at how we conduct our own business for ourselves. Look at how supportive we are of ourselves. And I know some people think that, well, I'm being humble. I'm being lowly. Well, good. But God told you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. He told Joshua, be thou courageous. Be thou very courageous. God wants you to be strong and courageous. He told Jeremiah, I know the plans that I think toward you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. How can I give you a future if you're not going to be here to live it? How can I give you a future if you're going to squander it because you, underneath all of the glimmer and the glitz, we don't even have love for ourselves. We're talking negative. You know, there's life and death in the power of the tongue. I'm killing myself slowly. I'm committing internal suicide every time I tell myself that I can't do that, or I'm no good, or I don't deserve that. I'm committing internal self-suicide with my own words. If I got enough sense to know that my words will kill you, Kelly, then I should have enough sense to know that those same words will kill me. So why would I tell myself that I'm nothing, that I'll never be nothing, that I'll never have anything? Why would I tell myself, oh, you're just like your father, and he wasn't no good either? Why would I tell myself that? Why would I tell myself, you know, you're not going to be successful because you didn't have a father in your life to love you? Why would I tell myself that? That's perpetuating self-hatred. Why would I, and then we're going about all of these women's, you know, empowerment conferences and women empowering networking. How in the world am I networking and I don't love me? And then I'm there telling you, go girl, go, you can do it. But I won't say that to myself. No, we got to stop that. We can't take that into 2011. We got to leave that in 2010. Just leave, you know, like they had to leave things right there in Egypt and just move out. Just move out. Just keep going. Just leave it. And don't want to go back to it. You know, they got out in the wilderness and they got a little discouraged out there because things didn't happen as fast as they thought it was. And they said to Moses, you brought us out here to die. Take us back. We're going back. Some of them probably, do you know, some of them snuck away and went back. And the rest of them died out there anyway. So, yeah, you know, you can die in the wilderness. And I know Pastor Rebecca, I haven't even read her new book. Well, I read the book she based it on, the Holy Scriptures. But you can die in the wilderness by not changing, by not having faith in yourself, by not loving yourself, by not having faith in yourself, by not having faith in yourself, you can die in the wilderness. And if she doesn't address that in her book, Tina has the book, she can tell me if she did. If she doesn't address that in her book, fine, because then I'll make, you didn't die in the wilderness, did you? And then I'll talk about it. Because if you did, it's probably because you lack faith in yourself. You had no faith in what you could achieve. And you were waiting for someone to happen by that could have faith for you. No, the woman with the issue of blood had faith for herself. When no one around her had faith, she had faith for herself. And that faith gave her enough strength to push through a crowd. And you can only imagine what that crowd must have been like. Think about that, if Macy's was to run a special right now, you know, laptops for a dollar. Now, imagine that crowd. And imagine yourself trying to push your way through that crowd to get that dollar laptop. I can only imagine that must have been what the crowd was like, that she had to push her way to get to the hem of his garment, just to touch it. But where's the faith? Where's the faith in yourself? Where's the faith in what you believe? Where's the faith in what you can achieve? Where's the faith in being satisfied with your life right now? You know, we're supposed to be content with where we are. We're supposed to be content in every place we find ourselves. And so people would say, well, how am I supposed to be content? Like, you know, some of you know, I was getting a little anxious there about this career and this move. And it's like, hold it. It doesn't matter if you're Coach Lalisa or whoever you are, you still got to line up. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be content in every situation I find myself in, not anxious. He said, be anxious for nothing. I need to be content. But contentment is also about being able to do what you can do where you're at, doing something positive and spectacular and awesome, right? Where I don't care if you're in a cave, you might be, you know, sleeping under a train, you may be sleeping in the backseat of your car. Wherever you are, you should be doing something spectacular right there. Building something great right there. And I thought about that as it relates to work. I was like, yeah, that's right. Because that's what God, you know, we can beg God all we want. Move me, move me, move me. He's not moving you till he sees that you're content with where you are. Some people, oh, I want to be married. No, not until I see that you're content with being single. Not doing it because you have to. Excuse me, it's not the same. You don't do it because you have to. You do it because you're content. Remember, we can fool everybody, but he knows our heart. And so until we become content with where we are, that's when he knows to move us to somewhere else. But content will show up in the form of doing something great and spectacular and wonderful right where you are. In other words, making an impact on your situation, making a change right there. It's just like if you were to come inside your house or your apartment and rearrange all the furniture. Do an impact shift right where you are. That's when God says, okay. Because in other words, you're not going to do that kind of work without putting your heart in it. And when your heart is in it, that's how he knows you're content. Contentment contains the heart, felt gestures and movements. You can't be on the job being resentful and then telling God, oh, yeah, I'm happy with this. No, not going to work. Won't work. I tried it. It just won't work. Give it up. Go on and do something different. It won't work. Same thing in those relationships, begging God, marriages, begging God to let you out into a new one, not until he sees that you're content with where you are. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because even if you moved on, I'm sure you had to display some contentment as opposed to resentment. Yes, and so she couldn't resist another second. And now I will take caller 973, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Coach Lalisa. This is Tina. How are you?
I'm great. Fantastic. How are you? Welcome to the show today.
Welcome. This is a great topic. I was listening, just talking about loving yourself and loving who you are. I believe sometimes people may not love themselves because they can't forgive themselves about things that have happened in their life or in their past, but, you know, God has forgiven us, and we need to understand that whatever has happened before in the past of our lives, that God will restore us. The Bible, the scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son, like he forgives us for all of our sins. So So we must understand that we have to begin to start loving ourselves and not hating or despising certain things that we've done in our past or even in our present. We have to start loving ourselves daily.
Yes. Yes, we have to start loving. I was wondering how long you were going to... I said, she couldn't resist. But you're right. You're so right, Tina. That forgiveness, he's already forgiven us. Sometimes people... They hold on to bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness, which actually turns into some levels of bitterness and resentfulness. And again, if we're in a place of resentfulness, we're not going to be in a place of contentment. And right there, you know, God is not going to be pleased because he told us to be content in everything, every place we find ourselves in. And really, for me, that really means that now I need to be making an impact where I am, not just showing up because I have to. When has God ever wanted that? He's never wanted that. He told us, don't even bring your tithes to me. You're offering your money, the thing that we sometimes value the most is our money. Oh, my God, that's like, you know, you hear people giving an offering. God, I'm giving you my what yours? Okay, anyway, but never mind the fact that he gave it to you and he gave you the ability to get it. He says in Deuteronomy 8:18, I give you the power to get wealth. So, but never mind that. So it's yours and you're giving it to him. But even that, he says, don't do it if your heart isn't in the right place. I agree with you. We must forgive. We must realize that he is the chief forgiver. He's already forgiven us and expects us to do the same for self and others. So did you have any thoughts on that actual phrase, love thy neighbor as you love yourself? You have about 30 seconds. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. Not at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, think about that, people. Think about that. And thank you, Tina. We're about to go off the air. Thank you for calling in. And we certainly thank each. Yeah, thank you. God bless. Yeah, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But do you love yourself? See, that's the key. And if you don't love you, stop trying to love everybody else. And we're not saying don't love everyone, but we're get you to line up the proper way. You got to first love you. You got to love on yourself. Say kind words to yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Treat your body right. Don't just do any and every old thing to your body, because that's your first sign that you don't love yourself. That's the first sign that we're pretending, is how we take care of ourselves. Again, if I love Lalisa, I must make sure I'm eating right, I'm sleeping right. You know, I am married, so I don't have to worry about, I can't have sex with anyone else. But I'm saying, you know, for single people, if you're out there having sex and stuff like that, how much do you really love you? You're taking a chance with your life. And now you're putting yourself in jeopardy that the person that you're sleeping around with, they're never going to want to marry you. So now you're wasting time that could be for someone else that would love you. You know, I know we don't want to hear that. I know. And nobody wants to talk about it. And that's why I do talk about it, because I'm not like everybody else. There are preachers, pastors, apostles, teachers, mothers, fathers. Oh, a woman that she shouldn't be having sex. Doesn't matter what your background, church affiliation, religious or spirituality is. It has nothing to do with that, as far as I'm concerned. But what it has to do with is your self-love. And people, they don't want to talk about it. Well, I do want to talk about it, because I've been hurt before. And I've had grave emotional problems simply because of sex. I've had mad problems in my life. I'm 54 now. all my life, the source, the majority of the source of Lalisa's problems was sex outside of marriage. I would say 99.9% of my problems in life came from sex. That other 1% came from education, most of it. I mean, of course, in the background, the spirituality part was already there because my parents were Christians and I was already brought into the world to know God, and so I didn't have that as an issue. So my issues, 99.9% of my problems came from sex and sexuality, which is another topic that we will talk about, because I know that there are a lot of women, and especially, I can't speak for men, I can tell you what some of them have told me, but I can speak for myself as being a woman, that we need to get that part right too, and that we're going to work on that. We're going to talk about that. Yes, you're right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. If Michael Basin can talk about it, I can talk about it. If Wendy Williams can talk about it, you know why? Because not everybody watches Wendy Williams. Not everybody watches Michael Basin. Some people are going to tune into the show, and they're going to need to know the real deal so that you can be, because what we want you to be is happy. We want you to be whole. We want you to be fulfilled. And we want you to, I'll be the first person to put my hand up and say, I want you to be happily married, and if that's what you want. But I know you're not going to be if you don't love yourself. I tried that. It didn't work. I tried to pretend that I loved me and thought it was going to work. It still didn't work. I tried to love him, but because I didn't really love me, it still didn't work. There was still no fulfillment, no happiness, no real joy, no real love, no real love. No, we love. And part of the problem is that most of us don't know what love is because we were never taught. We were never taught. We didn't get it from our parents because they didn't know. They didn't even think they did wrong. It was that no one taught them, and no one taught their parents and their parents. So you see, now we have a generation, almost like a generational curse, that's plaguing many of our families. And we're passing it on to our daughters and sons. They're passing it on to their daughters and sons. And it just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. Why? Because nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Well, we're going to talk about it because next year, 2011, is going to be our year of great preparation. Write that down. It's the year 2011. Is the year of preparation. God is preparing us for the great things that he has in store for us. 2010 was about completeness, you know, God's divine fullness. Everybody recognized that, and people know that the number of 12 for God is also a divine fulfillment. The 12 disciples, the 12 children of Israel, the 12 stones that Joshua took as they went through, across the rivers. So 12 is, we know what it represents, but people want to know, well, what does 11 represent? Well, I did some research, and what I came out of that research with and asking the Lord, it means preparation. Let's prepare, because we're not going to give up in this season. We're not going to say, this is a time to do nothing. That would be foolish because we cannot find something. We can't find that this is it. Like the number 7 is God's number for fullness and all of that. We can't find those things. So let's just not do nothing. No, no, no. That then they said, okay, the Lord said, turn it around. This is a year of preparation. Okay, amen. All right, well, we're past the end of the show. Spent a few extra minutes with you. Loved doing that. You all have a great, wonderful, powerful day. This has been Coach Lalisa. Thank you for tuning in. Keep on moving on up, because ain't no stopping you now.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. but we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.